name of Christ we pray. Amen. It was Augustine, or Augustine, depending on your preference, Bishop of Hippo in the 5th century, who coined the phrase visible signs of God's invisible grace, referring to our sacraments. That is, the baptismal font, the bread and cup of the Lord's table are both signs and symbols of God's grace, where we can see and know God's promises to us, God's presence in the world, God's indefatigable love. In the Bible, water, oil, wine, and bread are all sacred. All elements that can show us God's being right here among us, if we're paying attention. If we remember, then they can turn any ordinary midweek moment into an extraordinary visit of the Holy. In the 23rd Psalm, a table is spread for us in the presence of our enemies. In the Gospels, Jesus is particularly revealed in the breaking of bread, or a miracle catch of fish, or baskets full of leftovers. Abundance when there probably shouldn't be enough. And in today's gospel lesson, it's merely crumbs. Literally, crumbs dropped, left shards of a meal or celebration having taken place. Little droppings on or under the table, not quite the scraps that the woman and Jesus are joshing about in the story, but remnants of celebration, at least of a meal. The unintended consequence of adults and children eating. Crumbs usually left for the dogs or what must be swept up and thrown out at the end. Tiny remainders. But in today's gospel story, for a desperate woman, clear evidence of power enough to turn her troubled situation around entirely. Crumbs where once bread had been. Mere crumbs, but also that the body of Christ was present. That bread, in fact, came down from heaven. That life from above is feeding all of life on earth. Or tiny evidence of light shining amidst the world's darkness. Small, almost imperceptible, easily missed, visible signs of God's grace. Reminding us that Jesus was here, that Jesus is here. And the world is so broken and dark just now. We need this light, maybe as much or more than ever. What might only be seen by many as crumbs, the leavings, the remainders, but too small to be important, are signs that this is still God's good creation. Yes? Hard to remember in the midst of everything going on around us that we see on television, that we have constant updates for on our phones. Tiny sparkles amidst brokenness and dark days that guide us back to the promises God has uttered for us and the reality of God's indefatigable love. Perhaps today's scripture readings can point us past the world that we see to a world that is restorable, that is being restored, in which there is still hope for new beginnings where all seems lost. The prophet Isaiah reminds hearers, in particular exiles, to take courage and heart, insisting that God is right here to put things right and redress what is wrong. That God will fix blind eyes, deaf ears, lame men, lame women, and God will hear the voiceless, even the earth itself. A good word following a devastating week of news about the weather from Louisiana and Mississippi to Tennessee and New York and California and Haiti and Afghanistan. More pointedly, perhaps in Mark's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters a woman, a non-Jew, who seeks a restoration for her daughter. An encounter begins with Jesus brushing her aside. He seems to be saying, no miracles for people like you. Or at least, wait your turn, other people eat first and people like you get to eat last. But she sees the crumbs as signs of what can happen. Then more signs. Jesus heals her daughter and then a man by putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting on the man's tongue. There's good news here. Jesus is about reconstruction rather than destruction. So where are the visible signs of God's invisible grace and indefatigable love for you? In the midst. Walter Wangren Jr. was a best-selling author and a Lutheran pastor. I found out this week he died just a month ago. Like crumbs beneath the table, Jesus and the woman in our gospel story reference back and forth. Wangren reminds us of the kind of likely places where we will still find Jesus reconstructing us and the world. In a short story he wrote entitled The Ragman. I first heard this story as a part of an annual tradition at the Synod Youth Workshop back in the day when I was much younger, a youth event created and sponsored by our Synod that still happens these days, and that example has stuck with me and carried me in lots of dark times and places. I tell this story because I don't always have a bead on exactly where or how Jesus is working among us, but I know that there are crumbs if we're willing to look for them. Wangren's story. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush, child, hush now, and I will tell it to you. Even before the dawn, one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart full of cloths, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Oh, the air was foul and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. "Rags, new rags for old. I take your tired rags, rags." Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4" and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding a thousand tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans and dead toys and Pampers. "Give me your rag," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking. Yet she was left without a tear. This is a wonder, I breathe to myself. And I follow the sobbing rag man like a child who cannot turn away from mystery. Rags, rags, new rags for old. In a little while the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, I could see the shredded curtains hanging out of black windows. The rag man came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage, a single line of blood running down her cheek. Now the tall rag man looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers, and I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow it ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. The ragman pressed him. "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuffed into a pocket. He had no arm. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket, and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. So the one-armed man took off his jacket, so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw. For the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched, wizened, and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk, he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits and then rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow, and yet I needed to see where he was going with such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits, and then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He laid down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an old army blanket. And he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junk car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope because I had come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died, and I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and its night too? But then on Sunday morning, I was wakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face, and I blinked. I looked, and I saw the first and last wonder of it all. There was the ragman, folding the blanket most carefully, scar on his forehead, but alive. And besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow nor of age, and all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the ragman. I told him my name was Shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. Then I took off all my clothes in that place, and I said to him with dear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." He dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The ragman. The ragman. The Christ. We're most often used to the invitation to roll up our sleeves and get to work. But in the story, the real story begins when we hear, "I took off all my clothes." Bread from heaven, broken and shared, heal the sick, clothe the naked, and then there are crumbs that are left behind. And others see where Jesus has been, that restoration is still possible, that it's on the way, that it's real. So be reminded that God is here, never left. That Jesus is near. Find where people are being remade and join them. And take this good news that we find in bread and cup and share it. All authority and power and dominion to the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord, now and in the age to come. Amen.